103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan. Welcome, welcome, welcome to The Sod Show. It's just past 3 o'clock. It's Dublin City FM and it's Brian Green, Peter Donegan with you until around 3:30. We're talking hedgerows part two this week. About 2 weeks ago, we were on part one. We're not running them every week. It's every other week. And you'll get more details about managing your hedgerow and equipment that the guys are going to test later. I don't actually hear any motors revving up, guys, but we're looking forward to it. On today's show, Peter is talking with Michael Galvin and is also back talking with Phil Murta about the hedgerows. Fun all the way till 3:30. Hedgerows, are they important? Ireland has lost 5,000 hectares of hedgerows since 2006. The importance of hedgerows. Hedgerows are nature's motorways. They're a means, an example of green infrastructure by which wildlife and all its biodiversity moves through the land. Small mammals, insects, butterflies, plants, even birds use hedgerow to travel from one region to another. The hedgerow provides a corridor along which to move, shelter and protection from the elements. They find safety from predators and a supply of food. So whenever hedgerows are removed or damaged, nature loses a means of travel, its source of sustenance, and becomes isolated and more vulnerable. I borrowed that text from praying-nature.com. A nice little piece of information on hedgerows. They are important. Think of that metaphor of the motorway. And that really does it for me. That's how nature gets from place to place. Let's hear more about hedgerows and we go over to Peter Donegan. He's in conversation with Michael Galvin.
Who am I sitting with?
Michal.
Michal.
Galvin.
Michal, why am I sitting next to you?
I don't know.
We're in Annan Inch's.
That's for you to know.
And me to find out. We're in Annan Inch's garden. We've just done half of the Schlina Skjocka hedgerow walk. Your thoughts on the morning this afternoon?
Oh, it was fantastic. It was amazing to find wilderness near Ballybackle and not Dublin.
Have you done this walk before?
No, never done it before. And it was great for the children. They got them away from the PlayStation and out into nature.
It's not something that, when I was talking to Anthony McGuinness, I think it's fair to say, it's not something that everybody on reading maybe the title of a day out noted as a hedgerow walk. And even as I noted to Anthony when Anne first told me that she was secretary of the Hedgerow Society, I did laugh.
Yes,
you know, and I did suggest to her on the Sod Show that it was not everybody's title.
Yeah.
Is it something you do again now that you have done, or how did you get dragged into doing it in the first place?
I would do it again for the benefit of the children. I suppose if you were to look at the vernacular, the hedgerow, we had hedge schools in Ireland.
Yeah.
There's so much in hedges. You know, they have stood the passage of time. That's and Ireland is unique for hedges. You know, we have most hedges per square kilometre in any country in the world, I think, is it?
Is that true?
Yeah, I think so. That's true.
Wowee.
Yeah. Yes, we have the most hedgerows. But I think it's an asset that needs to be made more of, you know. Even when you're tilling land along by the hedgerow, this fantastic soil, you see the soil that's been organic for years. There's a lot of education in hedgerows. Mm. We need to use it more and maybe could grow some things of, like even wood chip. We should be harvesting some of the waste wood there.
What do you do for a living, Michal?
Yeah, energy.
What kind of energy?
Renewable, sustainable approaches.
How do you think that's developed in Ireland over the last few years, or has it developed?
Well, I think it's we have biomass. As we say, come back to hedges. There's massive biomass that's wasted in hedges. Mm. I think in Austria they harvest their hedges. There was seen a very interesting the Jungscheitus exhibition. I've been eating nettles actually all morning.
Have you really?
Yeah, what do you call them? Derek, isn't it? Showed me how to eat a nettle.
Oh, Damien.
Yeah, Damien, sorry, Damien, yeah. But anyway.
How do you eat a nettle?
Huh? You just pick up the leaf and you roll it to take the spikes off it to have the acid that stings you, and then you put it in your mouth.
How does it taste?
No, great. I mean, it's better than tobacco.
Is it a cure for smoking?
Yeah.
These Nicorette patches are
that's
a flaw to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Nicorette will eat your heart out. There's a saying that if a nettle didn't sting, it would be extinct years ago.
That's
for its medicinal properties, you know. But anyway, I was coming back to the hedgerow. I was going to say the biomass. I think there was a young scientist. There was a project of the Young Scientist exhibition. And I think for every 3 kilometres, there's 1 tonne of biomass to be harvested every year.
My God.
So I suppose we should look at hedgerows as a source of nature, education and energy.
Yeah.
Because it captures, it's like a big solar panel. It's out there capturing the solar energy, and it's growing, obviously, and done the right way. It could be with some willows or various fast-growing things, you know.
Yeah.
Something in it, but if our energy, we could solve our energy, the earth, the amount of sun leaving the amount of energy leaving the sun for 15 minutes is enough to power the whole earth for a year. That is how much energy that's available from the sun. 15 minutes would power our earth if we could capture it. So I'm saying is the hedges are a source of capturing that energy. Every square meter needs to be put into use.
There's a lot to be said for not having fences.
Yeah, that's it. There's nothing to rust. Yeah. Stalin, yeah. Where are we going this?
I haven't a clue. From the greatest depths of North County Dublin, yeah. Ballybacalia, Ballybuhal. Yeah. Take care, folks. Bye from me. Bye from me, huh?
Bye-bye. Slán awa, yeah.
It's not Michael, it's Micheál, but the fado isn't in the script, so apologies, Micheál, and good to hear your voice on the radio. Absolutely brilliant stuff. 103.2 Dublin City FM, hedgerows, hedgerows, hedgerows. Peter Donegan is in conversation again with Philip Murta, and they are checking out some equipment. They're talking about the chipper.
Yeah, we're back again. We're still sitting in the back of my Jeep. No, we have moved. Still in my company, Phil Murta. Phil, good to have you back again, man.
Hello, Peter.
And here we are, another Friday, fantastic afternoon in the great outdoors. You want to get in touch? There's something in here you disagree with, agree with. There's not a whole lot you can agree with, disagree with, is there really? At Sod Show on Twitter, facebook.com/ The Sod Show, or as Brian has noted, all of the back catalogue of Sod Shows up on sodshow.com. If you're listening to this in podcast land, you want to get in on this hedgerow thing and you haven't heard last week's show, do pause it, do go backwards, listen to last week's one, go for a walk, make yourself a cup of coffee, don't talk to the good lady, put the earbuds in, you know, the mother-in-law might be around. It's easier listening to me, you know it is. And then come back and listen to this one, if that makes sense to you. You'll understand, but last week's one has relevance to this week's one. We ended up last week, we're at the point where we had just mentioned the Bosch AXT25TC. Don't write that down. I'll put the link up on sodshow.com, at sodshow on Twitter if you're stuck. You're getting the gist of this, aren't you? You are. Good. We like you. I like you more. Bring me cake. We're heading. Yeah, no. Okay. Not the maybe. Yeah, okay. Anyway, on with the show. But we had mentioned the chipper that we were using in order to process. Yeah, process is probably a good word to use. All of the green waste that was coming off the hedgerow. And just to give you a background on this, although myself and Phil, he would be, let's say, the gardener, and I would be horticulture, educated, studied, and all of that. So my hobby would be computery stuff and techie kind of stuff, because obviously it's indoors and it's not golf. In short, Phil, on the other hand, you would be
the exact opposite,
the extreme opposite. So your education or your area of expertise is what exactly?
That's in the IT telecommunications area.
and engineering background, so I know a few things about where electrons go. So we'll leave it at that.
So okay.
And gardening then is just a pastime. So.
Well, you're kind of gardening with a difference, because you are one of the few people who will actually listen to me give you the explanation for the theory behind photosynthesis, which can take anything up to 14 light years and so on. Brian Green back in studio will confirm that, won't you, Brian?
We are 12 billion light years from the edge. That's a guess. No one can ever say it's true. But I know that I will always be with you.
So there you go, Peter. We're 12 billion light years from the edge. Or is it 13.7 or 13.8? Now we're going to get ourselves into trouble. Let's go back to horticulture, Peter.
Yeah, thanks for that, Brian. Anyhow, moving on with today's show. Phil, what is the behind the scenes? And this is the bit where I guess I will ask you to break it down, Bobby Brown. What is the bit behind the scenes of the AXT25TC, this turbo chipper that shreds all of this green waste and is more than, I should add, more than well capable of doing it? If you're looking for a price range on this, just before I go to Philip, they cost about €550, big bucks. However, if you go to the commercial range, this is probably at the start of the commercial range, and at the same token, it's at the very, very, very highest level of the domestic range. Most of the ones, and the reason why in last week's show I noted that I guess when I first heard about it, I was dubious is an understatement. To see it in action really does put home how well capable it is in dealing with, I guess, something that isn't a straight branch. It's not a bamboo cane, and everything that comes from the hedgerow is kind of knotted and gnarled and twisted, and it's ugly stuff. As I know, it's not ugly, I don't mean it like that, I still talk to them, but it's not got a single concurrent characteristic, if that makes sense to you. And so the chipper has got to be able to take a bit of a battering. And we, in short, when I got this, we tried to originally break it, but behind the scenes, to the point, what have we got underneath the bonnet, if that's a fair way to describe it?
Okay, well, it's a 2.5 kilowatt electric motor. It drives a turbine at very low speed. It looks to be somewhere in the region of about 2 or 3 revolutions a second. Very, very slow, just ticking over. And or put it another way, it's probably making about 30 revolutions a minute, right? And as it's turning around nice and slowly, it looks to be about 10 blades on it, and these blades are press the wood against a hard surface, and then proceed to slice the wood piece by piece. You actually hear it as a very, very methodical or rhythmic chopping motion, kind of a chunk, 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 chunk. That's all that comes from it. And it makes no noise other than the wood being smashed up by the unit nice and methodically. And the whole lot then goes into a little basket, which the unit has. It's a totally self-contained unit. You can't go near it. You can't come within about 1 foot of the unit. If you try to stick your hand in it, your hand just won't reach. If you try and take it apart while it's working, it'll stop straight away. So it's got all the usual safety limiters to prevent you from doing anything foolish. I suppose I have to say now, I've been using it now pretty consistently for about three and a half years. Or 3 years anyway, I'd say, but definitely. And it hasn't given me a moment's trouble. You just plug it in, and that's it. It just works. Job done. And then when you're finished with it, you wrap up the cable, put it away, and that's it. There's nothing more to say about it. It's most unexciting from that point of view. It just works. And nobody knows you're doing anything. They can't hear you. That's the other thing, because it's silent. So you're not disturbing the neighbours.
Electric-wise, Phil, one of the things we know, and I see it happening on sites that gardens that I'm working on, sites would be very much the wrong word, is that the builders, the bricklayers are moving from petrol-based mixers to electric mixers, and logically so. There is, I guess, based on me not being a a mathematician of the electronic kind or the electric kind, but I guess there's obviously a money saving point in there where what is it down the road from us, about 120, 125 for diesel at this moment in time, or about 140, 150 for euros per litre of petrol. How much electric or what's the cost?
Well, the calculation is quite simple. If it's a 2.5 kilowatt motor, it's going to consume under load. In other words, while it's crunching wood, it'll consume 2.5 units per hour. So 2.5 units of electricity per hour, you're looking at around 40 cent. That's an awful lot of stuff you're going to crunch through. An awful lot of stuff. If you run, for example, a petrol powered unit non-stop for 1 hour, you're definitely going to you'll consume easily a litre of petrol quite easily in the same unit. So 125 is against 40 cent. Okay, it's a simple equation. Plus the fact I don't have to be worrying about things like wondering whether I have enough oil in the unit, because a lot of people pay, that's the last thing they pay attention to until the engine seizes. And I don't have to be worrying about fuel mixes if it's a two-stroke motor or a four-stroke motor, so I don't worry about things like that. I just don't have any messy things to be worrying about. So from that point of view, it's handy. You just plug it in and go. And I can see from the point of view of the builders who are mixing concrete or anything like that, it makes an awful lot of sense there. And in an awful lot of cases, there are a lot of the motors there around 1,300-1,500 watts, which again, 1.5 units per hour, which means you're down to around 25 to 30 cents an hour under load. I have to keep saying, because it draws more current the more it has to push. But those are the maximum ratings. And you price that against the equivalent of throwing petrol in. I mean, you're dealing with huge differentials in price of the order of about 5-1, 4-1, 5-1. So,
okay. The other side of all of this is, I know in a lot of people who listen to the show, if you're into recycling or your own green waste, so you cut your hedge, it might be done with the shears, or you might be capable of doing it with the shears, or it might just be a little bit of soft root or glasshouse kind of green waste, if that kind of makes sense. This is more at the woody side of it. So the first, I guess, elements are the foliage and the leaves and the whole lot, which essentially go through the chipper. That becomes down, I guess, into a waste of an equal size. So let's call it somewhere between peanuts and chestnuts, if that makes kind of sense. That's the level we're at, and the rest of it then is dust. So its ability to break down extremely fast is huge. From a cost perspective, it makes sense, as Philip noted, from an electric cost point of view, to 40 cent. And to put that in context, when you actually consider that to cut the grass that I'm on, which takes in a ride-on lawnmower, takes about 35 minutes. I know that because the length of a sod show is usually somewhere between 25 and, let's say, 25, 30 minutes approximately per episode. So I can do it in about 35 minutes odd. I also know that for about €25, which is what it'll take me to fill a 5-gallon drum, I will get about 6 cuts out of that. So it'll cost me a fiver to run it, as versus, let's say, 20 cent, if that makes sense, per hour, that is, approximately. That's not a bad rule of thumb. Listen, we're going to pause it here ever so slightly. We've just hit about the, I can't remember how long, I don't know how long we're kind of up now. We go back to Brian in the studio, and I think, Brian, I am reminded that I need to go and cut the Griselinia litoralis hedge for you and your good lady at some point soon. It must be tall, I'd say. Yeah, if I remember correctly. Still green, but tall. Yeah. Anyhow, that's got to be done. Brian, back to you. Give me something nice and upbeat.
Peter, you want upbeat? We've got upbeat. This is Karen O and the Kids. All is Love.
Yeah.
We're checking out on your music system. That's Karen O and the Kids, All Is Love. You can get them on Spotify and iTunes in an actual record store if you can find one. 103.2 Dublin City FM. Let's get back outdoors. The guys are going to the chipper.
And we're back. Phil, we've got to the point where we've learned, I guess, how to deal with the waste. The second thing then is, I guess, where the waste actually goes, which is to the green waste heap. So if we take the cost per hour unit of electricity, which is essentially about 20 cent odd.
Yeah,
about that, to run the chipper. That's the first thing. And you need to break this down to a cost. There's no point in doing this if it's costing you too much, if you want to call it. You end up in the organic argument or something along those lines. And I've possibly opened up a can of worms here. I don't mean to be doing it like that, but you get what I'm saying? If you get what I'm saying. Like why don't we all drive electric cars? Well, probably because they're too bloody expensive at this moment in time, like the first microwave, which is a really bad analogy, but you get the point I'm saying. You got to put a money value after it. So to where I and what I do with my green waste, I built out of concrete blocks a 7 meter by 3 meter length by breadth, that is, by about, let's say, 5 foot tall, which is about an average gentleman's chest height or an average person's chest height approximately is what I've built, and that's where I put mine in. The scaffold boards then sit down in between the cavities of, I drop them down through the cavities, I've cut them out of the cavity block, and that holds it, therefore, then behind. The whole thing will rot down. I throw my green waste on top of it, and I get to do all that, and that essentially turns it all into compost, which is then essentially I can, you know, I won't say I can grow things in because the pattern of them won't be the same, and that's how you end up back at John Innes' land. But at the same token, I can spread it across my land. That's the first part. The second part then is that the initial unit, the AXT25TC, the chipper itself, will cost you about 500 and odd quid. Has it paid for itself already? Without question, and I've only just had mine, got mine this year. That's the first thing. Okay, grand. All the links you need for this up on sodshow.com, at Sodshow on Twitter, and we'll make sure you get them all. The second part of it, however, is that anything greater than, let's say, about what, 4 inches in diameter, 3 inches in diameter, that will not go into the chipper. Is that about it?
Basically, anything that doesn't go into the chipper should be seen as viable for storing to one side as firewood. That's the rule. If it doesn't go into the chipper, start chopping it up. Okay, you'll have then a lot of little branches. That's good for starting fires if you want to start the fire and get it going before you put on the bigger logs, right? Mm-hmm. If you want it simple. But on average, you're going to get 3-inch and 4-inch branches as well. So the whole idea essentially is to you either chip it all or you start chopping it into lengths appropriate for your stove or whatever. After that, and you start storing it away.
Okay, so we're back to it again, and the next part then is that in my own garden, and I know Phil's is exactly the same, so my office would be heated on timber, my home would be heated on timber, nothing but, and that's it. And the most of that would come from, don't get me wrong, I'm in the game too long. I don't even need to ask, but it just arrives at my back door. I get a phone call saying, hey, would you like it? It's there. But in my case, it's a case of that the excess that comes from the hedgerow, if there is any, that is, and it won't fit down into the chipper, that goes into logs /. Firewood, as you would know it today. A bag of logs, I think, in a local petrol station would cost approximately how much?
Oh God, it'd be about 2 euros, roughly speaking. It really depends what a bag of logs.
A bag of wood?
I saw a trailer of wood for sale for 135 quid recently.
135, yeah, but that had quite a lot of bags in it. It really depends. Sometimes you see a bag that just comprises just a number of chopped sticks. Is it a bag that sometimes you see these what are equivalent 25 kilo bags, or is it 20 kilo, whatever is the legal weight you're allowed to have, and you're into the 5 or 6 euro, maybe up to 10 euro. It also depends on the type of wood that's in it, if it's oak versus ash and so on, different weight of wood and so on. But it's a trailer wood would be more the sort of thing you should gauge it on, and a trailer wood roughly 6 foot by 4 foot by roughly about 1 foot deep is of the order of 100 to 120 to 150 a load. then that's the meter you should go by.
Thanks, Peter, and thanks, Philip. Also, thanks to Michal earlier on. 103.2 Dublin City FM. It is the Sod Show Hedgerow Part 2 in 2 weeks' time. Part 3. Next week, we're going to do porridge. No, we're not going to prison and doing time, but we are looking at Flahavens, and Katrina will be on the air with the Sod Show, so we look forward to that. If you want more details on the show, it's at Sod Show on Twitter, The Sod Show on Facebook, or you can get us on the interweb at www.thesodshow. No, it's not. It's www.sodshow.com. And there you can get the last 4.5 years of back catalogue, as Peter was telling us earlier. Thanks to everybody who looked after us so well last weekend in Waterford City, where we went to the Harvest Fest and the Grow Fest within it, with Grow It Yourself International, formerly Grow It Yourself Ireland, but they still are in Ireland. Coming up over the next couple of months, we have a plethora of great interviews with the GOI people that we met down in Waterford, so thanks to them. Until next week at 3 o'clock, thanks for tuning in. Thanks to Peter Donegan, our producer, Katrina Redmond on the blogs and podcast. I'm Brian Green. Have a great week. Talk to you soon. Bye bye.